The following is paid for by Ackerly Advertising, and the opinions expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily those of Bustos Media or its sponsors. Over 7 million visitors a year come to Tucson for the climate, culture, history, and of course, America's best Mexican food. The following program, Jump in Tucson, celebrates this richness and is produced by Ackerly Advertising, a full-service advertising agency established in 1968. Now it's time to discover success stories. It's time to jump in, Tucson. Today, it's Wonder, Stories of the University of Arizona, with your host, Dr. Ed Ackerly.
Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerly. And you know, Jump in Tucson Monday's theme is Wonder, and where we celebrate the good things going on at the University of Arizona. We often hear other stories about the U of A, but I like to focus on student projects, student learning, student outcomes, as well as top-level performances by artists and athletes, and especially top-tier research going on with the faculty and the scientists at the U of A as a Research One institution. And we've been doing this since the beginning of 2024, and we've highlighted a lot of fantastic things going on at the U of A. And over the last couple of months, I've been talking to the president of the university, saying I'd like you to come on and talk about your legacy here at the university. And so we're so fortunate, and I'm honored to have the president of the University of Arizona, Dr. Robert Robbins. Good morning.
Good morning, Ed. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure to be part of your reign at the U of A. When you first came to the U of A, I reached out to you, and you have been just as gracious as you can possibly be over the last many years in working with me and my students, coming to my classes and helping my brother with the boys' course and all the things that you've done for our family. So thank you for that in advance.
You're most welcome.
And thank you for your service to the University of Arizona. I know when you got the call and said, hey, you're the guy, you're coming to Tucson and you're going to lead the U of A. Tell me a little bit about that initial sense and feeling of that you're going to lead this great institution and how that all played out in your own personal life.
Yeah, I can remember driving in. I had only been to Tucson twice before. The first time was when Jack Copeland was the chief of cardiac surgery, and I flew in from, I think I was a general surgery resident in Mississippi at the time, and I flew to Phoenix and drove down and from Phoenix to Tucson to interview with Jack Copeland. It was the morning after he had put the Jarvik heart into Michael Drummond.
Oh, I remember that, right?
Yeah, and I remember being so impressed that we kind of went on rounds quickly, and then we sat down and had an interview. And I was so amazed that here he had replaced his entire heart with this artificial heart, and Syncardia, which is still a company here in Tucson, Marv Slepian and others still keeping it going. But Michael Drummond was sitting up, and he was drinking a Mountain Dew, and I just thought, wow, that is really impressive.
Yeah.
And Jack, of course, had done his training at Stanford and then gone to NIH, and I kind of followed his pathway. And I always kid him that I wasn't good enough to be a resident at the University of Arizona, so I had to go to Stanford to do my training. But the other time that I was here is I came down for a Stanford U of A basketball game in McHale, which was magical. Mm-hmm. And, I learned to stand until the other team, and I think must have been, 5 or 6 minutes into the game before we sat down, because of course Coach Olson and the incredible teams he had, every time he would come to Maples Pavilion at Stanford, he looked dapper and he was just so elegant and had such great teams, and it was like a U of A home game at Stanford. So when I came back, I was so excited to be here. And these have been professionally the best 7 years of my life. And I am so grateful and have been blessed to be here and be part of this great institution.
Well, when you look back at those 7 years and see what you have accomplished in your administration and where the U of A was and where it is as you move on to something else, It's an amazing run, and we need to start nowhere other than at the strategic plan. I think that your vision for that strategic plan and going through that process with the faculty, staff, and the students, and the community, and the stakeholders of doing that strategic plan, and then raising a couple $1 billion on top of that is pretty powerful. So, talk a little bit about the strategic planning and how that has launched the U of A into a new trajectory.
Yeah, well, I think that the first thing that we did when I got here is try to go on a listening tour and try to meet as many people as I could. You know, Ed, to this day, I was flying out the other day and met a woman who is a nurse from New Jersey, and she had just brought her daughter to the U of A to start school, who wants to be a nurse as well. And I did the same thing that I do with every student and every family member I meet. I ask, what her daughter's name was, what year she was. She was actually transferring in, where she went to high school, what she was studying, and why in the world did she come to the University of Arizona. And the last thing I did was give her my cell phone number, which I do to every student and every family, and ask her to please have her daughter come and meet with me, which about 10 days later, she came to my office at Old Main, and we talked about her future at being a nurse and how great the nursing program is here. And so these are the kind of stories that just give me energy to mm-hmm. keep doing what I do every day. And I'm sad that it's going to end here. But my son played football at Dartmouth, and people have heard me say this many times, but at his last game, and then when they had the banquet, the coach Buddy Tevens, who unfortunately was killed in an accident, a few years ago, he quoted the great Dartmouth scholar Dr. Seuss, mm-hmm. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. And that's how I look at my tenure at the U of A. But getting back to the strategic plan, I think we as land-grant AAU universities, we have three things we do. One, we help our students realize their hopes and dreams so they can go out and make society a better place. We discover fundamental new knowledge, translate that knowledge into commercializable products that help with the economy of our region, our state, our nation, and so that those things, those discoveries can be real tangible things mm-hmm. that make the world a better place. And the third thing, of course, is a land grant, is to serve our communities. And the strategic plan has five pillars. I'm assuming President Garamella will probably come up with a new direction, because after 5 to 7 years, you need to refresh your strategies. But the first that has the most initiatives is student success. Without students, we can we can be a big research institute, or we can be a service organization, but students are our main focus.
We'll come back and talk about the other four pillars after the break, and talk a little bit about all the other accomplishments that you have. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. And we're speaking with Dr. President Robert Robbins, President of the University of Arizona. We'll be back after the break, after a few words from our great sponsors. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson and Bear Down Arizona. We're talking with Dr. Robert Robbins, who is reflecting on his 7 years at the University of Arizona. He gave us the Wonder Program and the Wonder Campaign, and part of that came about through the strategic plan, of which the first pillar, of course, is the students. And we have four other pillars that were part of that existing strategic plan. So, I was just talking to Chad Herzog 2 days ago about that third one. So let's go into the second, third, fourth, and fifth of the pillars. So.
Yeah, the first one is about student success, and there are more initiatives. Over half the initiatives are around student success. The second one is around research. And, of course, I think later on we can talk about the big projects like OSIRIS-REx and the other things that we're focused on. CAMI, which is the Center for Advanced Molecular Immunologic and Therapeutics, which will have a ribbon cutting in a few weeks in Phoenix. The third is really celebrating our land grant mission in southern Arizona. It's distinctive, and two of the biggest things there are around Native American and Hispanic initiatives, and we are incredibly proud of the designation as a Hispanic serving institution, mm-hmm. and Dr. Marla Franco does an incredible job leading that. And Levi Escara coming in as a senior vice president for Native American Affairs has really been a game changer. The fourth is around international activities. We have micro campuses all over the world. And the fifth is really about operational efficiencies. And mm-hmm. and I think given the recent financial challenges, consolidating human resources, IT activity for efficiencies and security reasons, fundraising, marketing, things like that really are important for the university to go forward in this recovery phase from the financial challenges.
You know, we call this this segment of Jump in Tucson, we call it Wonder because we're talking about the cool things that are going on at the U of A. But, you know, the whole Wonder marketing campaign that you and Steve and others came up with to promote the good things going on at the U of A is really fitting for the 7 years that you've been here of the wonderful and the wonder of science and engagement with the world and the community, really powerful. And so Wonder is a really good slogan for what you've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, Wonder makes us, Wonder makes you, Wonder University. I still look at those, the arts and athletics are really the front porches to our mm-hmm. university. And, people talk about how much athletics cost, and that's a whole hour. Yeah, right, ask me right. back, and we can talk a whole hour about athletics and how expensive and all the changes that are going on. But it's a great marketing for the university. If you have, when Tommy Lloyd wins a national championship, you're going to see more philanthropic giving. You're going right. to see more students that want to come here. When the football team wins the Big 12 and gets the college football playoff, and Coach Barnes gets back to the Final Four for women's basketball, softball, baseball, there's so many positive things about sports. But I look at that Wonder ad that has been through several evolutions now, but I compare it to what the Ohio State University or Alabama or others do. And I really love that Wonder campaign and the whole thing around it.
Yeah, you talk about sports being the front porch of the college. I was telling Mitch the other day that, years ago when you'd go to New York and you'd, take a taxi at that time from the airport and you'd say, where are you from? And you'd say, well, I'm from Tucson, Arizona. And they didn't say, that's the home of Mitch or Ed Ackerley or the Sonora Desert, whatever, the million things we have. They'd say, Lute Olson.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, he's the greatest coach ever, And this would be some guy from some foreign country who didn't know much about Tucson. But it is the front porch, and sports is important because it's where the nation gets its exposure to the university and all the good things going on here. Let's talk a little bit about the other side of that, which is the world-renowned research that has been going on at the U of A for many, many years. I often say on this show that every NASA activity since its inception has included a University of Arizona researcher component to run the whole thing like Peter Smith did with the Mars lander or whatever. But this OSIRIS-REx thing was pretty powerful during your tenure to go to that that asteroid and pick off a piece and bring it back. So that was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
It absolutely was. And President Hart was here when the launch happened, and then mm-hmm. in my 7 years, I got to see the touchdown, the acquisition of the asteroid dust, really, and rocks, and then the incredible touchdown in the Utah desert of the right. capsule coming back. And Dante Loretta is really dedicated 20 years of his life to this project, and it's truly remarkable. And I've learned, if you think about all the research programs we have here, and I often say there are other great universities. I always use Stanford as they're really great at almost everything they do, But I can tell you what Stanford's number one in. I can tell you that we are absolutely number one in astronomy and space science, not even close. We are world leaders in water research and in the environment. We have incredible university dance program that is the top university-rated dance program in the country. So there are many things that the Mirror Lab and other things that we have, Biosphere.
We have the U of A marching band that got the Sudler Trophy, which
That's right, the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
And Chad Shubman has done an incredible job coming back after an incredible career at Disney, and, and he has the right instincts, and he, you know, over 80% of the members of our Pride of Arizona are not music majors.
Right.
And I try to talk Chad into getting a program, because if you look at the number of people on the football team, the band, I wanted a mentoring program where each player had two or three band members, and they would at least meet once a week or once a month, and they would say, you know, we're here supporting you in the stands, and they developed a relationship. Because I think most people don't understand the incredible value of having a great marching band and and cheer and palm line and all the things that we have here at Arizona.
You've been very supportive of that, and we appreciate that, as I've been helping them since the mid-'80s. So, you know, this is incredible. As a Division One research institution, AAU, and just the amount of scientists that we have working at the U of A, but it's encapsulated, no pun intended, with the OSIRIS-REx project, because what one of the questions that the whole mission is trying to answer is why are we here,
right?
And why are we who we are, and that's the mission of much of what we do in science, is to say, who are we, why are we here? And those are major questions that humankind has asked for centuries.
Yeah, I've learned that astronomers care exactly about what you just said, Ed. Two things. One, what's the origin of our universe? And two, is there other intelligent life out in our universe or beyond? And so the astronomy program, the lunar and planetary science programs, they are just incredibly elite in the world. I mean, really the world's leaders. And, you know, the OSIRIS-REx program, the spacecraft is continuing on. It won't land again. You know, just the work that was done is just incredible.
And that's amazing how what is being done at the University of Arizona, how it touches humanity and human life and the society in which we live, and how impactful. You know, we take for granted the University of Arizona because it's in the middle of town. It's always been here. I often say, if you picked up the U of A and took everything with it and took it out of this town, what would you have? I mean, you'd have a military base, and you'd have a Raytheon and a couple of other things, and some, but you wouldn't have a heck of a lot. The U of A is the engine that runs this town, and it's really important that we highlight some of these really good things that are happening. You know, you've had some challenges in your presidency, and we're going to talk about them after the break, but we'll talk a little bit about the COVID-19 that came in your tenure, and of course, people all over the country we had to respond to that. We'll talk a little bit about the challenges that the health sciences side had, and how you came in and did a great job of making that a powerful, it has been, and it continues to be a powerful thing. And then we'll talk a little bit about the great enrollment statistics that we've had from every year, I think, during your time, even during the COVID years, we increased student enrollments here at the University of Arizona, and that's a pretty powerful thing as well.
And it really is.
Yeah. So we'll come back and talk about that. But before that, I just wanted to mention one personal thing. You probably regret one thing in your tenure. You know, you say you give out your telephone number to students and ask them to call you and so forth. When you were very first president, you came to one of my classes and you spoke, and you actually introduced Steve Moore, who had just come over, and you gave out your telephone number in that session, and I dutifully took it and put it into my cell phone. And I have been one of those people that contacts you way too regularly.
No, can never be too much, because that's how I stay in touch and be accessible. And, you know, I think it's probably from the student side, less than 50 times that a student has either texted me or called me.
Yeah.
And it's usually when they needed something. Yeah. So it worked.
I do it all the time, way too much. But it's been a pleasure to interact with you over that technology. You're listening to Dr. Robert Robbins, president of the University of Arizona. This is the Wonder Series on Jump in Tucson. And we're going to be back after the break, after we hear from some sponsors. And we'll talk about some of the other great things that have happened at the U of A in the last 7 years under Dr. Robbins' tenure. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. It's a great honor and privilege to have with us in studio this morning the president of the University of Arizona, Dr. Robert Robbins, and his reflections on his 7 years as president of a great institution, the University of Arizona. So welcome back.
Thank you, Ed.
So let's talk a little bit when you came in. Who would have known when you came into the university setting that you had a lot of challenges that you were working on? One of them was of course, your experience as a surgeon and all that whole side of your life that is saving people's lives and so forth. But one of the things you were tasked with was to kind of look at the health sciences side of things and come up with a part of the strategic plan of what you might do there. And what a great result has happened from that that exit. Painful maybe in the beginning, but it's just kind of like surgery. Might be painful in the beginning, but the result afterwards is pretty powerful.
Yeah, I've experienced no pain in this job, literally. Yeah. It has been a joy every day, no matter how challenging it may seem. I see it as an opportunity mm-hmm. to make a difference. Even with all of the things that have gone on, and including COVID that we'll talk about, but the health sciences, when I came in, we had research expenditures of around $600 million, and we'll hit $1 billion this year. Yeah. And the health sciences has been probably the largest part of that, but certainly, as we talked about before, science and engineering and other places, optical sciences is world-class. The stuff they're doing with quantum networking is truly groundbreaking. So the focus on health sciences, obviously from my background, I knew we could perform better. And that's usually where you see big increases in research productivity. It's ASU starting a medical school. And President Crowe and I have been talking about this for about almost 10 years now about ASU and their medical school, and that will increase their research expenditures just like it has here. And so we had all the pieces here. We have not one but two medical schools and incredible faculty, and there was a great opportunity to amplify and increase the research done out of the health sciences.
Right. And you did a great job of managing through that process and raising the bar for them. We were just talking about how we've had to several people from the health sciences side come in and talk about their research and what they're doing and amazing stuff going on at the University of Arizona. Well, like I said, one of the challenges that we all faced for a little while there was COVID-19. And I just have to say, obviously I'm a fan of yours and I'm a fan of the university, but the way you and Dr. Carmona were able to respond and set a model perhaps for the nation of how to handle the whole teaching, how do we do immunizations, how do we get this, how do we make this work and have it be impactful, but maybe not in a negative sense. You did a great job, even with commencement and the number of in-person commencements that you did. It was pretty amazing. So, can you talk a little bit about the COVID-19 response?
I was lucky. I mean, Dr. Carmona, Rich Carmona, is a national treasure. He was the 70th Surgeon General, and I've known him for a long, long time, being surgeons from the Bay Area. And when I got here, I met with him and had dinner, and he gave me a rundown of where he thought there were opportunities in the university. And then when COVID happened about 3 years later, I gave him a call and said, Rich, I really need you to come and help me with this. And he instituted the instant command system and built that out with incredible people that helped us lead through COVID. We were one of the largest sites for vaccination with the drive-through of the mall. Chris Kopech and his team
awesome.
Was just incredible. you know, there was some criticism about keeping classes and going because some of the professors didn't want to be exposed. And certainly we said that if you have a medical condition or if you live with someone that have a medical condition, then just teach your class online. But I'm really proud that we kept things going. And as you said, every year about this time, I get to stand up for like 6 years in a row now and say, we're proud to welcome the largest incoming first-year class, the most meritorious and most diverse in the university's history. So we kept growing 2, 3, 4% every year, even through COVID. And I'm so, I mean, Mike Dake, the Senior Vice President for Health Affairs, and several immunologists and virologists, we would spend 3:30 to 5 most Tuesday and Thursday afternoons talking about how can we attack this and how can we keep people safe but keep the university open. And I think that's why a lot of students chose the University of Arizona, plus all of our incredible academic programs. They come for the professors and their mentorship and their teaching. But the weather's great. We've got a beautiful campus. We've got great sports and arts. And that to keep giving them the opportunity to learn was something that I'll always cherish.
Yeah. You know, I teach leadership, and when you came over to my class and talked a couple times, and when the previous mayor, you came in and we gave a salute to the previous mayor because he had been talking to my classes for years. And you know, the reflection I have is just leadership and how powerful your leadership has been. And Mitch and I are fans of John Gordon and just positive leadership. And it's really easy in a large organization like this to get down on a lot of stuff. And that's the low-hanging fruit. But as a strong leader, it's important that we look at the successes and build on those. And if we do have a challenge, as you said, learn from that,
right,
and try to make it better. And I just have to, especially with the COVID-19 response and even the campus unrest last spring and so forth, U of A has led in these areas of taking on these challenges and doing them, learning from them and doing a good job. And a lot of that points right back to you and your leadership. And so for that, we're very thankful for that. So let's talk a little bit about athletics and the arts. You know, you said that both the arts and athletics are the front porch of the university. It's what the community comes and sees. You know, they don't see the research necessarily going on in the labs. Maybe they might see the effects of that, but they don't see the actual research going on. But the arts and the athletics is something they see on a regular basis. And so specifically with the arts, what an amazing art community we have at the university, and what is out there for people to experience.
Yeah, I highlighted the dance program. You know, it's like going to Broadway when you go to see our students perform in the Stevie Eller Dance Theater. But we've got a renowned Center for Creative Photography that houses some of the all-time greats, including Ansel Adams and others. The museum with the de Kooning that was,
yeah,
I say, on loan in, right, Silver City, New Mexico
for
30-something years, is now back and restored for free by the Getty Museum in Los Angeles. So we've got an incredible collection. We need a new art museum for sure, because the collection is better than the building that houses it. Dean Andy Scholes has done an incredible job with the arts, and eventually we need to redo Centennial Hall.
Right.
There's no question about it. I kind of thought we needed to build a new place, but that it has such historic significance, but it needs its own campaign to redo it. And I hope I live long enough to see Centennial Hall restored
to its glory. Some great lofty ideas of maybe putting in a basement with moving the stage and a little bit and reconfiguring it so that it can accommodate the big 2,500 seat thing, but also do some more intimate things. You know, it's a little bit more versatility, I guess, is the word. So that would be kind of a cool thing to do. Well, you know, you've done great with leadership and facing challenges, whether it be campus safety or whether it be online education and moving in those directions. It's been sustainability, all sorts of things that you've been able to do. When we come back, I want to spend the last segment just talking about Bobby Robbins and about you and how you feel about things and what the future might mean for the next few years for you and whether or not you're getting back into the operating room or what's going to be your next thing up. So we're talking with Dr. Robert Robbins. We'll be back on Jump in Tucson after the break. Word from our great sponsors. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is the Wonder Series where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. It is my distinct privilege and honor to have the last hour with President Robert Robbins. We just want to talk a little bit here about you and about, you know, you're a person just like anybody else, and you have dreams and hopes and dreams. When you came into the business, into the situation, the organization, you had a vision for what you might want to be able to accomplish. And now, as you're heading into the last few weeks of your tenure, some reflections on the power of being a president and what's that meant in your own personal life and in your professional life.
As I said at the outset, it's been the most joyful, blessed time of my professional life. Obviously, I enjoyed doing heart surgery and running one of the largest medical centers, the largest medical center in the world. But this has been something that I will cherish, and I'm grateful that the Regents gave me the opportunity to be here for 7 years. There are a couple of things that that we haven't covered that I hope to see. I mentioned CAMI.
Right.
And the, I think the most important thing that has occurred in health in the last 25 years is mapping the human genome.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the next 25 years, it'll be a better understanding of the human immunome. Your immunological responses, whether it be in cancer therapy, in inflammation, which is now part of every cardiovascular disease, and more data showing that it's important in dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So inflammation will be a big part of CAMI. Autoimmunity, when your immune system not fights bugs or other processes, but it attacks your own organs like your brain or your heart or your liver or kidneys, lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or things like that. Transplant immunology, aging, there's a lot of data that aging is affected by your immune system. As we get older, our immune system doesn't work as well. And then the obvious last fifth part of CAMI is going to be about infectious diseases, mm-hmm. and whether it be bacterial, viral, protozoal, fungal, whatever. So Dr. Deepta Bhattacharya worked in a lab that I collaborated with closely at Stanford, so I've watched him for years. He is the right leader. He's brilliant. He was part of that group that helped us through COVID in better understanding the immunological responses and how we needed to have antibody tests and all the things that we did to make COVID successful. The second thing is I'm really excited about there's going to be a ribbon cutting. The groundbreaking happened a year and a half ago for the new JTED Health Sciences High School. Mm-hmm. And that's an idea that I brought from Dr. DeBakey in Houston and the Michael E. DeBakey High School for the Health Sciences. And I took a team down there, and I'm just incredibly happy that our students, particularly those high school and middle school students in South Tucson, are going to have the opportunity to go to a high school that's focused on the health sciences and help them make their journey on to being either a nurse, a technician, some career lifelong service to others through the health sciences, or even be, a brain surgeon or whatever they want to be. There should be no limit. As far as what I'm going to do, I want to get to work October 1st doing something.
Right.
And I thankfully am going to be a part of the Department of Surgery here. Dr. Jeff Gertner is the chair of surgery, and we've got a new cardiac surgeon who's come in to rebuild the program. We've got a new director of the Sarver Heart Institute. So I'm really excited about all the things that I can be a part of and hopefully help contribute locally here. I want to take some time to focus on writing and doing some research and reflection on higher education and the challenges, particularly around finances, around healthcare policy, and around the incredible challenges that we have with intercollegiate athletics. So whether I spend some time at a policy institute or my ultimate goal is to do this again, to find another university that will value the energy and talents that I bring, and I'm hoping that that'll be sometime in the future. But for right now, I'm going to be here in Tucson. I'm going to be a Wildcat for life, and no matter where I end up, I will always be a Wildcat at heart.
Well, I speak for, you know, I'm employed. I have a full disclosure. I've been a faculty member at the university for 32 years now, 33 years, I think it is. And I've seen several presidents come and go and engaged with all of them. And I can honestly say that you've done a great job.
And thank you, Ed.
We're proud of what you've done and your leadership and what you've you know, had to face and what you stood steadfast in your principles and so forth. And you've been a good president. And I speak for many, 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 many employees who thank you for your service. And it's you know, sometimes your job is kind of a thankless job. Everybody's an expert.
Yep.
And everybody knows what they're going to do, and we talked about that, but we appreciate your service to the university, and on behalf of the students that I've taught, thank you for that opportunity to be able to make a difference in their lives.
Well, I will be here to help support President Garamella any way I can. Just as President Schaefer and President Likens have done for me, President Pacheco to somewhat lesser extent, and President Koffler I knew briefly before he passed. And so we are all very focused on helping our new president lead this great institution, and I know that he's going to do a great job, because this is an incredible place. And it will continue to get better with time.
Thank you so much for everything you've done for the community and for in my case, students. I just think it's really powerful what you've done for students. And we thank you for your service to the university and look forward to interacting with you in the future. And thanks for bringing us wonder.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Ackerley, thank you for everything you've done at the University of Arizona, for doing this show, for all of your commitment to the community, running for mayor, and this is an incredible platform for you to amplify and force multiply all the positive things that are going on at the University of Arizona. So
great.
Thank you.
Great. Who knows, we might have you back sometime when you write that New York Times bestseller, and we have to have a little book tour. We'll start it right here.
Perfect.
When we would do that.
I look forward to that.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Robert Robbins, the president of the University of Arizona, who concludes his tenure of over 7 years as president of this fine institution, and as I said, bringing us the wonder that makes the University of Arizona great. And good luck to you in your future endeavors as we continue to stay in touch. And I'll keep using that cell phone and texting you on a regular basis.
Please do, Ed. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you.
If you'd like to be interviewed on Jump in Tucson and share your success story, go to jumpintucson.com and let us know a little bit about you. And who knows, maybe you'll be sitting in Dr. Robbins' chair being interviewed on Jump in Tucson. Coming up on Tuesday, Ted Maxwell will host and talk about the engagement hour. Grant Kruger will be here on Wednesday talking about restaurants and politics. And Tom Moulton will be here on Thursday talking about Tucson and all the good things we have going on in attractions. And I'll be back next Friday with success stories. Jump in Tucson broadcast from the Bustos Media Studios and KVOI 1030 AM The Voice. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you will jump in Tucson.